Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
Jesus Christ, when he ascended into heaven, he gave gifts to man. And, those gifts are for each of us. They're for all of us. They are provided whether we choose to receive them and enjoy them or not. Those gifts are there. I remember not this past Christmas, but the Christmas before last, Terry and I were over at Fry's Electronics, and they had these little remote-controlled helicopters. Do you remember those, Terry? And they were, they're for teenagers, not for small children, but they're for teenagers. And I got to thinking, boy, I wonder if my boys would like these. And our boys are not teenagers. They're in their 30s. Let's see, our son is 38. And we did get one for the teenager. Brandon got one. But we, just for grins, we got one of these helicopters for Dale Timothy, our son, and then Michael, our son-in-law. And it was so funny because you should have seen these two. You would have thought we'd given them the best present in the world. Those helicopters were flying around the whole house. They were terrorizing the animals, terrorizing the small children. You name it, they had more fun with those things. And they finally, I think they lasted maybe about 2 months because they crashed them so many times that it stripped out the little gears in them. But, there was not any, gee guys, would you like to play with this gift? They saw it. They liked it, they loved it, they used it. And that should be the same way with the gifts that God has given us, the ascension gifts. They're given to us for our benefit. Now, we were talking earlier about the shots that Terry and I received. And those, we received those for our benefit, but they weren't any fun, were they? That's the gift that begins with a slow burn and just gets, it's like somebody taking a jalapeno and squeezing the juice out of it and then giving you a shot with it. Okay. That medication burns. And so, some gifts we don't like, we need, even though we don't like, but Jesus gave gifts to us as he ascended, and the key to this is he promised that, he said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will give you another comforter in the Holy Spirit. And so it is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in all of the lives of all Christians around the world that these gifts can be received and manifested. And this is the last lesson today in the ascension gifts, and they're found over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 20 through 30. And we're not going to start reading at verse 20 because there Paul is actually giving you the reasons why these gifts are necessary and who gets these gifts. And it's not necessarily the people that are the most righteous or the most religious or whatever that get the best gifts, but the Bible tells us that God distributes these gifts severally as he wills. Amen? All right, now, I don't know about you, but Terry and I have found out this last Christmas, well, we found out the Christmas before last, that it was really difficult to give the tweens, those between, they're not adolescents or toddlers anymore, and they're not quite teenagers, They're those kids that are 11 going on 30, And it's so difficult to get them, presents that they like. And last year when we got them the presents, it was, okay, thanks. And, You know, and that was it. And so Terry said this year, forget this. I'm just going to give them a gift card, and they can go out and get whatever they want. Amen? And we need to understand that when the gifts are given, the ascension gifts are given, it's not like a gift card and we go out and get whatever we want. These, Paul says that God distributes these gifts severally as He wills. Amen? And so there's no gift card there. There is a gift that he says, this is the gift that you can have, that you can use, and it's going to be a blessing to you and to others after you learn how to use this gift. And so let's go ahead and drop down into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll start at verse 27. And here Paul is explaining to the Corinthians, and by the way, don't get the idea that as you have a special spiritual gift that makes us so much more mature than other Christians because of the particular gift that we have. We find most of the writing about the spiritual gifts in letters written to the church at Corinth, and the church at Corinth, those were the biggest bunch of rascals that you ever wanted to see. The whole purpose of Paul writing the first letter, what we call, you know, 1 Corinthians, the first letter to the Corinthians, is they had open sin in the church. And Paul had to write them and say, no, you don't do this kind of stuff, all right? This just isn't the right thing to do. You need to take somebody like that, and if they won't listen to the leadership of the church, they need to be placed out of the church so that they can get their lives right with the Lord again. Well, then the Christians at Corinth said, that's great. They kicked the guy out of the church, and he repents, and he says, I'm really sorry, and I've repented from my sin, and I've changed my life around. And then they wouldn't let him back in. So the second letter to the Corinthians is, okay, he's repented, you've got to let the guy back in. All right, so Paul is, you know, spent a lot of time with these guys. As a matter of fact, history tells us that he wrote four letters to the Corinthians. We only have two of them. The other two letters have been lost to antiquity or whatever. But he's spending a lot of time writing to these folks because they're having a rough time getting the message. All right, they're having a rough time. They have Jesus. They don't think that they're not, you know, believers, but they're just having a rough time growing up and maturing in the Lord. And so Paul begins in verse 27. He says, "Now you are Christ's body, and individually, each one of you individually, members of it. Together, all believers from all around the world make up the body of Christ." But that doesn't mean we stop being individuals. Each one of us have a unique place in the body of Christ. Amen? And he's, in verse 28 he says, "And God has who has appointed? God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers." Now this is a little bit of a difference in the Ephesians 4:11 list that we studied a couple weeks ago. He's not saying that anyone is important or more important because of its position within the listing here. Third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, and then helps, administrations, and various kinds of tongues. And what I wanted to look at today are two here that aren't listed anywhere else, and that's helps and administrations. Helps and administrations. We've covered the others in previous messages, but there's two here that we haven't covered yet, and one is a gift of helping. Helping out. Amen? You know, Jesse and several of you, when church is over, we have to put all the chairs back and put things back in storage and all of that. And a lot of you jump in and, what can I do? Let me take it. What is that? That's helping out. Amen? We're getting ready to have the waffle breakfast on the 18th of February. And we've decided that this time it's not going to be a buffet style. People will come in, they'll be seated, and then we'll prepare the plates and take it to them. Well, I'm going to be preparing plates. I'll be doing the cooking and stuff. But some of you have already said, well, Pastor, I'll take the plates out. What is that? Helps. That's right. Helps is a gift. Because you see, all of us by nature are kind of selfish. Amen? All of us by nature, we want to be served. We want people to do for us. That's the flesh. But Jesus said, now there's a special gift whereby we don't want to be the center of attention. We want to make others the object of attention. Amen? And so you think about it, because I believe that each of these spiritual gifts, what we call ascension gifts, have very real manifestations in our everyday life. Do you know people that they're just always there as a helping hand? How many have had Jesse help move furniture in your apartments? Okay. Joy says, yeah, I get first dibs on them. All right. You know, why? Because that's probably a gift of helps. Jesse likes to help out. And so many of you, Pastor, we're going to help out during the breakfast. I want to do that. Why? That is a special gifting that God has blessed you with. The ascension gift of being a helper. All right? I mean, to show you how unnatural that is, take somebody who has not been tainted by life. Take someone who hasn't yet learned from all of the bad things that go on television. Take a one-week-old baby. All right? All that you see in that baby is just what the flesh is. And does the baby say, you know, I know Dad has worked all day long. Mom has been up washing my diapers. Oh, that's right, we don't wash diapers anymore. Just dated myself. Mom has been up all day feeding me and cleaning house or whatever. And you know, I am sitting here with a wet diaper and it's 3 o'clock in the morning. But I'll just let Mom and Dad sleep. Does that happen? No. Yeah. Gee, you know, I'm not really starving to death, but there is, right about there, there's a little place where I could use about 2 or 3 tablespoons of food. But it is 4 o'clock in the morning, and Mom and Dad are asleep, so I'll just wait. It's only 3 more hours till breakfast. No, they get you up right about then and there to let you know, I want. See, that's the natural disposition of man. I want. God says, I'm going to give you a gift, so it's not so much what you want, but how you can share your life with others. The gift of helps. Isn't that neat? All right. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that pastors should have the gift of hospitality. All right. What does hospitality mean? That's right. Come on to my home. Let me get you something. All the Indian pastors just really like to visit Pastor Dale's house because I know how to make chaya. All right, that's Indian tea. And they get the biggest kick that this white guy can make a mean cup of tea. All right? And I love doing it. I love getting the pots and the pans out, and you have to have a mortar and pestle, and you have to grind up the ingredients with the mortar and pestle, and then you have to boil the tea leaves. Just throw it in the water and boil those leaves, and you have to put it through a strainer. And it's a big old long process, but you can tell when you have a good cup of tea that there's been a lot of preparation that goes there. See, pastors are supposed to have that gift of hospitality. Welcome to my house. Can I get you something to drink? What can I do to make you feel comfortable? And I have been in each one of your houses mostly, and you've got the same gift. All right? You just make us feel right at home. Right? That's something that every believer can utilize. Well, the next thing we have helps, and then administrations. Do you know that the church is also a business? There's bills to pay. There's appointments to keep. There's grass to be mowed. And when we were at Mason Road Assembly of God, I couldn't get anybody to mow the grass. And I said, that's fine, because I work on my sermon illustrations when I'm mowing the grass. Now I'll be out there mowing the grass and just, oh, great. great idea, Lord, thank you. And I'm just talking with the Lord, people driving by and saying, that pastor has hit his head on something because he is definitely crazy. But that was my time of communing with the Lord. But there's a lot of stuff that's got to go on to make a church work. And there are some people that have been gifted with the gift of administrations. To make it work, to get a committee together, to give out assignments, and let's make this thing work. You say, well, Pastor, that doesn't sound very spiritual. Well, maybe it's not very spiritual, like giving you, you know, warm, fuzzy goosebumps or whatever, but it's something that has to be done. Amen? All right, and so you see, God has provided for everything that the church needs, from the ministry of grace, all the way to the administration of the daily business of the church. And then Paul goes on again in verse 29, and we see this in a couple of different places in his writings. All are not apostles, are they? Does everybody get to be an apostle? No. All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak in tongues, do they? And all do not interpret, do they? And so what he's saying is that God has given these different gifts, and don't look at each other and say, well, I want that gift. We need to be looking to God and saying, God, what gift have you already given me? Because again, it says it's the Spirit of God that distributes to man severally as who wills?
God.
As God wills. Amen? And then, why? Why has God gone through all of this to provide all these gifts? Man, it's taken us 4 weeks to get through 4 different lists of gifts and abilities that God has given to the church. Why? And we'll go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 20. And this is a quick rundown of why God has done this. But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the Lord, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And again, we don't think much of our feet. Two days ago I came home, and Terry said, what you doing? And I said, well, I just unloaded. She says, well, when you're done, I've got a sliver in my foot, and I need you to take a look at it. And I tell you what, I had to go and, I'll make a confession here, I had to get my glasses. Okay, does Pastor wear glasses? No. Does Pastor have glasses? Yes. Okay, and I had to go get that sliver. And I kid you not, let me see something here. You see where it says 1 Corinthians... Okay, that T on first, that's how big that sliver was. Not very big at all, but it was in the ball of her foot. Uh-huh. I said, Sister Terry, you were out on the patio without your slippers on again, weren't you? Yes, I was. And she got, just the littlest sliver. And the bottom of your foot, I mean, how many times do you pay attention to the bottom of your foot? Only when you get a sliver. Amen? And so I put her up in the chair, and it was a recliner, so we raised her feet up, and I got my glasses down, and I got out a little needle and some little tweezers and dug around and found that thing and put some antibiotic salve on it and a Band-Aid. And how's it feeling, honey? Okay, in the same way, Paul is saying, you know, it's the lesser members of our body that actually have the bigger responsibility. We don't ever think about our feet, but you stub your toe or get an ingrown or something like that, and all of a sudden, your whole life is messed up. You can't go walking through the store. You can't go grocery shopping. You can't do anything. And so don't look at the gifts that God has given you and say, well, you know, I only have this gift. Or my gift is only this. And every gift is necessary. If it wasn't, you wouldn't have received it. Amen? God doesn't waste His time. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on those we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Case in point, get up at night and stub your little toe. Nobody brags about their little toe. I have yet to have somebody meet me at the door after church, pastor, fine sermon. Oh, by the way, you ought to see my little toe. I've got the neatest looking little toe that you ever want to see. Nobody has ever said that to me. All right? Nobody pays attention to their little toe. I don't pay attention to little toes. You stub your little toe in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden, there's only one part of your body that's important. And that's your little toe. All right? And the whole body comes to the aid of that little toe. Amen? And so we need to remember that in the body of Christ, there is nothing that is less important. All of us. And I don't want anybody saying, well, pastor, I'm retired. Pastor, I'm X amount of years old. There's nothing that God can do with me any longer. If you didn't have a reason for being here, you wouldn't be here.
Amen.
Amen? God has a purpose for everybody's life. Each one of us are important in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Amen? There is nothing that is, well, he's only the little toe. No. We are all important in the kingdom of heaven. All right? And whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. All right? And you might be saying, I don't even know what my gift is. I don't know what my place here is in the church. And the Bible is telling us, Paul is telling us here through the Holy Spirit, then it is the responsibility of the rest of the church to help you find it out. We need to work with you, need to give you special attention so that you can figure out what your gift is, so that you can get to work in the part of the church that God has gifted you for. All right, so that there may be no division in the body. Amen? The body of Christ is not divided until we get a hold of it. Then we start, well, I think that way we believe is more important than the way, you know, we're more scriptural, we're more biblical. Now, God says the whole reason for the giftings is so everybody starts working together and there's no division in the body. Now, I've heard you talk, you've heard me talk about the St. Thomas Evangelical Church of South India. That's the place where they kind of detained me for a few days. These people, they wear robes. They're very conservative in their worship style. All right? And so I was talking to the bishop is in charge of that group, and I said, well, we're having, you know, this dedication. What have you done for music? And he says, oh, we have, we've hired this group to come in to do our music. And I know that group. And I said, Pastor, that's Pentecostal group. And he says, yeah, I hear they have good music. And I said, yeah, you're about to find out. And it was so funny because they were playing some good old-fashioned praise and worship music, and I was looking out there, and some of these old people in there, you know, they're tapping their feet, you know, and pretty soon you see one little, you know, 80-year-old lady, you know, she tries to sneak a hand up there, you know, and it was so funny to watch them because this was so foreign to them, but they could feel the move of the Spirit of God. And before that week was over, man, we had these people raising their hands and they were just enjoying themselves. And I was, you know, really kind of concerned because I said, you know, these guys are really hyper conservative and I don't know how they're going to take to this kind of music, but I guess they listened to it secretly on their radios at home or something because, a lot of them seem to know the words. You know, so that's usually a dead giveaway. You know, if you've got somebody singing the words to it, they may not sing those songs in church, but they're listening to them somewhere. Okay. And so it was so great to see so many different denominations come together, to have pastors from the Baptist Church and pastors from the CSI, Church of South India Church, come in, and all these different pastors bringing folks from their congregations in to celebrate with us the dedication of our new seminary building, and the body wasn't divided. It was so neat. It was so neat. See, that's what God is doing. That's what God is really doing. All right, so verse 25, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the member may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, then all the members rejoice in it. Amen? And if God singles out one of you and gives you a special blessing, the reason we have the praise and testimony time is so that we can all rejoice in that blessing. Amen?
Amen.
We don't sit there and say, oh, fine, they got blessed. What did I get? I got the flu. Yeah. Yeah, Joy got blessed. You know. But because we have the love of God, we rejoice with each other. And know that God is not a respecter of persons, so my blessing is just around the corner anyhow.
Right.
Amen? Amen? So this kind of concludes our study of the gifts. Again, as I said last week, you can be like our son who got his gifts and just kind of left them there at the house until we called him up and he finally came. We found out he did take the gift cards. All right. Yeah, he did take the gift cards on Christmas, but left the rest of the stuff there in the box. And he finally came by and picked that up. And, oh, look at this. This is some neat stuff. Yeah, you could have been enjoying it for the past 2 weeks. It's just that you left it here. In the same way with us, God has given us these gifts. And we can ignore the fact that God has personally given us gifts that He has chosen specifically for us, and we can enjoy those gifts or we can ignore them. But they're still there for us. They're still sitting there, untouched, maybe been sitting there for years. Maybe for some of us been sitting there for decades because we haven't had the teaching or the faith to go and open up the gift and say, you know what, I don't really understand this thing, but I think I'm going to start walking in it because God gave it to me so that I can do my part in bringing the whole body of Christ into unity and into maturity. Amen? All right. Praise God.
Heavenly Father. Comes another day. Time doesn't wait. It doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? And just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. You lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the journey.